Amen. Are you thankful for the peace that is in the valley for those of us who are in Christ? You know, he tells us in his word that we in Christ Jesus can have a peace that passes understanding. You know, that means that no matter what we face or go through, that we have a peace that comes from knowing Jesus. But that's the key, right? The key is knowing Jesus. The world does not have peace because they do not know him who gives peace. And that leads us into what we're going to do this morning. A little bit different. We're not going to go through Matthew today. I'm not going to preach a sermon today. Instead, we're going to hear some testimonies this morning from some of our church family who've been on mission in the city of Boston. We need to share the gospel. Christ compels us to share the gospel, to go to all the world, he said, and make disciples of all nations, to tell them about the peace that's found in Jesus. And over the past few weeks, we've heard some stories. If you've had the opportunity to talk to these guys about what the Lord has done in Boston, we had a church trip, a group of 11 of our church family who went to Boston back at the beginning of the month to serve in conjunction with one of our church planters there in the city of Boston. Many of you may remember the name Jonathan Mosley. Jonathan is one of two Boston church planters that we support here at First Baptist Church. And we had 11 people who were able to go and serve up there in conjunction with him. Aaron Howell is going to come and kick us off this morning and share a little bit about that trip. Aaron planned this trip pretty much single-handedly. We support him in that, but Aaron did all the legwork and organization there. So y'all give Aaron some appreciation this morning and welcome him as he comes to share about our Boston mission trip.
Good morning, church family. As Pastor Matt said and introduced me, my name is Aaron Howell, and I'm grateful to have been given the opportunity to lead a team to go serve in Boston, Massachusetts, in partner with Kings Hill Church. This journey, this partnership, kind of started about 3 years ago for our church when J.R. Neal sought the relationship with Jonathan Mosley and another church, as Matt mentioned. And I've been three times blessed to go, and I'm very thankful to have, as Matt said, 10 other people join me on this trip to do the big move in Boston, Massachusetts. And we just appreciate you as a church family being willing to send us out and to serve others in a place that's not Moultrie. And I just really want to extend our gratitude for that. Our team initially was made up of 14 members. Two sicknesses and an unfortunate injury led us to 11 members you see on the screen. Great, happy, smiling faces before the big move. Very tired after that, after this picture by the end of the day. But I'd like to say that on behalf of Kings Hill and their members, they're always so grateful when they speak to us and encouraged by our involvement in their church, whether it be physically or prayerfully or financially. And as you will see, that they are one of the few church plants in Boston that shine as a light to the city in a very spiritually dark place. So I'm going to give you a brief history, not too long. But as you walk through the city of Boston, you start to realize that there's this marriage between past and present. I think, to me, this picture right here exemplifies it. This is the site of the Boston Massacre. And as you can see where the old revolutionary buildings are, you got these skyscrapers that just tower over it. So there's a lot of American history just ingrained in Boston. But also with that, there's a lot of religious history ingrained in Boston. In conjunction with it being a staple for our country, it's just steeped with ministers being trained by the universities, whether it's Harvard, Brown, Yale, to be sent out for the gospel effort. And churches of grand design are spread out all throughout the city. You see sanctuaries. In the next slide, you'll see two sanctuaries kind of in the background of where they held worship for decades, centuries potentially. And now Boston is just a former decaying husk of its former glory. Due to just sin and the movement of spiritual forces. But praise the Lord that even though these churches, now some are apartments, condos, historical landmarks, praise the Lord that the church is not stone and brick. It's a people, and it's God's people. So to give you an idea of Boston's current spiritual state, just kind of give you a background, you can see the statistics on the slide. There's a few up here that say, you know, that the income, housing costs, and they're the third least religious state, Massachusetts' second least biblical knowledge city. The thing I want to focus on is the stat at the top left. Boston is 2% evangelical out of its population. So 700,000 people in the Boston area, only 2% can say that they are truly evangelical, would even tell a survey they're evangelical. Put that into perspective. You take 2% of 700,000, and my calculator says that that's about 14,000 people, right? Well, seems like a big number, right? Actually, if you dig a little deeper and bring it on our terms, does anyone know the population of the city of Moultrie? Has anyone ever just curious and looked it up? Population's about 14,500. So the number of evangelical Christians living in Boston can't even match our census numbers and fill our town. It's staggering, especially when you consider the history, the religious history in the background. So, and if that was not enough, if that's not just a huge task in and of itself, being Christian in a spiritually dark place, since it's the second least biblically minded city in the country, the church members are bound to encounter individuals who have never truly read the Bible. They probably never truly met a Christian and are most likely spiritually antagonistic to the gospel, both in their flesh and by Satan's design. So the outlook seems kind of bleak, but you never know that talking to Jonathan Mosley, the church planner there in Boston. So Jonathan Mosley and his family, pictured above, they serve as Kings Hills Church pastorate, and they serve the Mission Hill area, which is close to downtown Boston, and serve to share the gospel out to the people of Boston. Jonathan started Kings Hill Church 5 years ago in a calling by the Lord to see Boston reached by the gospel. Interesting thing about Jonathan, he's not from Boston. He's from Columbus, Georgia. Isn't that wild? He went to UGA. So that's a really cool connection he likes to bring up. So that means he's well connected with us in the South, but also he's had to retool himself as he preaches and brings the gospel to Bostonians. His church preaches calling over comfort, and in a city where it's not comfortable or even beneficial to be a Christian, him and his church members have to hold strong and true to the gospel, knowing that they could be faced with all sorts of challenges. A little bit of insight into what his church looks like. His church currently meets in a hotel conference room about to the west of downtown Boston. It's very nice. It's a good place, especially for a church plant to have, considering they don't have a brick-and-mortar type building. And while the Lord has had to carry them through struggles, they've been blessed by him to now hold two church services on Sunday, with expected attendance for both services being about 200+. And let me say, you saw 2% evangelical. That is significant for a church plant. The Lord is moving in this church. And at 200 compared to our congregation may not sound a lot, but God is doing a good work through Kings Hill and seeing people saved. Now, you may be thinking, what does this congregation look like? It's full of Bostonians, right? They should all be like, park the car at the bar and lose their car keys afterwards, right? But that's not really the case. A lot of their congregation are young college professionals that live in the city for school and work. And the way he's had to reach out to them is different because by nature, their church is very transitory. People don't stay too long. So his church has to be willing to spread the gospel every single day, every single year, to reach out new people, to grow their numbers, and to show Christ. And also, since they're younger, financial support is lower, so they look to partner churches like us, like First Baptist, to serve alongside them so they can continue the mission and bring the gospel to the people. Now, you may be wondering, what ways can they actually bring the gospel to the people? Now, they have many different ways, but the ones that we helped focus on was the big move. And I'll speak more of that in a second. But my team and I, We went on to the big move. We left Wednesday night, right after hurricane. The hurricane slipped on up, Hurricane Idalia, and we followed it right to Jacksonville. And thankfully, the roads were clear. We made it safe. And by day two, we were up in Jacksonville, ready to fly out to Boston. Now, I will say, we left at 5:15 in the morning, so my team still hates me for that. But we had a good time being able to travel, see the Boston Commons, and then be there in time for orientation. As you can see on the right-hand side, maybe a little small up there, but orientation to hear Jonathan speak about his church and about what we're trying to accomplish the next day with the big move. Public transportation, that's all we used. So no cars, no Ubers. You wait on a train and hope it takes you where you need to go. So at this point, I still haven't answered the question, what exactly is the big move? So every year on September 1st, a large majority of Boston leases expire. I don't think it's very smart, but hey, it works for them. Meaning this means that there's no overlap for moving your belongings. You move out and in on the same day. And it wouldn't be too bad if it wasn't for the thousands of other people also doing the same thing, crowding the streets. Chaos ensues. And what ends up happening is with all the people, especially students and young professionals, they have no one but themselves, maybe their roommate, maybe their roommate's mom, to help them move in. Oh, and as Jeffrey Durrance would point out, he would say that basically everyone lives on the third floor, and there's no elevators to be able to get up. So you've got to take the stairs every time. But in this struggle that the city sees every year, Kings Hill saw a mission opportunity, saw a way to get their church planners or their church partners together and go alongside them and help serve. So after orientation, we began our long day of serving others with our hands and our backs. And we used our backs a lot. But total, it's hard to see in this picture, but behind our three kind of groups split up, we had about 180 volunteers from across the country helping Kings Hill go about and move college students, move people in with their leases, finding ways to be able to say, hey, how can we serve you best? No strings attached. And then saying, hey, how can we pray for you? Or what are your struggles? And finding ways to let the gospel weave into these conversations so that prayerfully, seeds are planted, the Lord's name is spoken, and it's returned back to Kings Hill, and people come to see the Lord. I'll say that we only covered a small portion, our three groups, we kind of split up in three teams. That little square right there is a small L-shaped road that we kind of followed. So it doesn't seem like a lot, but after a while, we started getting busy as the day kind of got on and got busier. But if you can see this red circle right in the middle, that's a one-mile radius circle that all of our team members were impacting. So think about if we did something like this here. It would be incredible to actually be able to go to someone's house and then speak relationally with them and then say, hey, there's a church. As much as we care for you here, there's a church that cares for you even more that can show you the Lord's love and show you the Lord's compassion. And that's just amazing. For a 200-member church, it's amazing. The next slide just kind of shows a glimpse of some of the work that was involved and the people we encountered. I won't try to go into every story, but just know that there were people who just looked like they were in complete despair because they had a moving truck with all their belongings in it, dressers, mattresses. We've all moved. We know what kind of work that takes, right? They had to go up three flights of stairs, and they just had no idea what to do it. But we come in, and we say, hey, you need some help? And they usually go, no, I think we can handle it. And then they start moving things. They go, maybe we could use a few hands. And we go in, and you could see their despair for a day-long move-in turn to elation when they realize that it just turned into a 30-minute stair workout because of our hands and our help. And in that, we were able to speak and talk and pray with others, as we said, to share the gospel and tell them there's a church there for you. So by the end of the day, and you can see just some of the highlights. I mean, the people we took pictures with, these are people who asked to take pictures with us because they were so touched by the work we were doing and what the Lord had used us to be there for. trash on the side of the streets because people are like, well, that's junk. I'm not taking carrying that with me. And plenty, and we even on our last move, me and Jeffrey helped someone move a couch up 3 flights of stairs, and that's not an easy task. But by the end of the day, our backs were tired, our feet were numb, calves inflamed, but our hearts were full of joy. Not because we ourselves did a good work, but because we were able to speak the name of Christ to every individual we encountered and let them know that our lives are changed by a God who loves you, loves us, and he is a God that loves you too. And also, our shirts say others of herself. This is purely by Kings Hill Design. They wanted us to be uniform, but they wanted something to show, hey, you know, God's commanded us to love God and then love people. But let's go beyond that. Instead of loving others as ourselves, why don't we love others over ourselves and extend that out and see what kind of impact that makes for the gospel? Day 4, the next day, was a little bit different. We decided to go, the church wanted us to go out and do a shotgun approach where the moving was more personal. This was very much, hey, we got some granola bars, go out through the city and hand them out to people at different transportation stops and just say, hey, there's a church here, or you need a midday snack, here you go, and just see if potentially that would make an impact or create some conversations. And for me, it did several different times. People, we saw our shirts, and they're like, what is that? Others over self, is that mental health thing? Is that, what is that talking about? And so we got a chance to be able to speak the gospel in that conversation too. But the hope with this approach, and I've done this before, but this time it just impacted me so much more, is that you get handed something, you get a card, and we all do this. You put it in your pocket, and you go about your day. And then you get home, and you go, oh, I forgot to pick this up. I'm just going to throw it in my dresser. And it stays on your dresser for 6 months. And Kings Hill prayer that a seed is planted when they face trials, troubles, they see that card, and they go, oh, maybe there's a church I can reach out to. I remember the smiling face that gave me the granola bar. I remember that person who was so willing to help me move it. What's different about them? And they can go in and they can actually see a church that cares for them and prayerfully come to salvation and know the Lord. So I want to give a chance here for some of my team members to speak and share their experiences. But first I want to mention and say that I'm very, very thankful for this team. God gave us a great team. And none of them on this team were particularly specialized. None of them, they're all gifted, but none of them had particular gifts that put them forward here. The only thing that they were obedient. And I just want to tell y'all that God used the disciples, ordinary average Joes, to do a great work. And much like that, we are ordinary average Joes that God can work. But the thing God needs is not always specialization, or he doesn't need a background that knows how to do this. He needs obedience. And I'm thankful for the team that was obedient to his calling to spend their Labor Day weekend to serve others and to share the promote the gospel. And I just encourage y'all to think on that and to do the same where we have mission opportunities and gatherings. So at this moment, I call Ms. Carol Broom up to be able to speak on her time. And thank y'all once again for allowing us to be on this trip.
As God always does, he provides for us. And this week, as I was studying in my D-Life study, preaching the gospel to yourself, he brought this to me, and I wanted to begin with sharing it. It says, it is when we come to the end of ourselves that Christ's power is made perfect in us. And they referred us to 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Of course, we recognize that as Paul's writings. And it goes on to say that God's grace is sufficient, so we need not fear failure as a result of our own weaknesses. Even at our strongest, we are never enough. And even at our weakest, Christ is more than enough. And I said that to say this. I haven't been on a mission trip in quite a while, and when the talk was coming about including some of us on the big move, I kind of turned it over in my mind a little bit. 70 years old, getting older, moving furniture, whatever, you know, and I thought, maybe I'm not too, I better do this, but something just kept telling me to go on with it. So I did. I prayed and asked if it was the Lord's will for him to open up the doors, and he certainly did that. I committed to go, and then shortly after I committed, I found out my husband was going to have hip replacement. And I said, oh my goodness, that may not happen. Well, as it turned out, his surgery was not until September the 5th after we came, so it was just another indication that the Lord was opening this opportunity for me. But as uncertain as I was about my ability to actually help, of course, on my own, I could not have. But God gave me the strength. And I'm so thankful for all the prayers of you people. You prayed for us before we left as a team, and we certainly felt those prayers, and not only the prayers, but also the financial support that made it possible for us to go. So you did have an active part in this mission, and we want you to know we thank you for it. One of the first opportunities we had was the big move, and of course I had no clue about what this was all going to be, but I was just following Aaron's lead. He said, we'll be fine, come on and go. So we divided up into the three teams and went different directions, and it was a little bit slow to begin with, but we finally came on this family. It was a girl and her mother, and then the girl's friend. And the girl just plainly said when we came up and offered help, she said, I was at the point of tears. You see, we found out later in talking to the girl's mother, they have to rent the vans 6 months in advance to have them for this particular day. And they only have them for a certain amount of time. And, of course, that van was packed with things. And her mother had come. She had actually moved to Greece in the past year, so she had flown back over to help them, but she was not physically able. She was just able to drive the vehicle there. So they were just truly elated that we showed up, and not only just the four of us, but one of our other teams actually came along at the same time too. So we were able to get them moved out of that, up the stairs, and in a timely manner so that they could free up the parking space as well as return their van on time. And so when she told me that, she said, you know, I was at the point of tears, I just simply told her, God provides, and we know that he does. No matter what the situation is, God will provide. And so we were able to use, you know, that theme as well as, you know, just saying we're here to help. We don't expect anything in return. We want to do it. This is what we've been called to do. We were called crazy by one woman. She said, y'all are from Georgia. You came up here to do this. Y'all are crazy. And my thought was, yes, we're crazy, but we're crazy about Jesus. And we want to share the love that he's given us and the ability to do this. As I was going to say, we just reminded these people that God does provide. And just to see the change of their facial expression when they found out, no, we didn't expect anything in return. We just want to do it. And we wanted to help this church. And we had many opportunities to pray with the people. One girl asked us to pray for her grandmother, who was really sick. And then there was one whose, I believe it was her father, was in she was from the Ukraine, and he was still over there. And so she was concerned about that. So we had opportunities to pray. And at the end of the big move, and I hope I'm not going to steal Blayton's thunder with this one, but this is something that impacted me as well. And of course, Jill's going to mention a little bit about it too. The 180 of us, after this day of moving from one place to the other, we gathered back in the park, and we were sitting on the amphitheaters you could see in the picture. And there were several other families in the park area, and they were, of course, playing. They were not a part of this group. They were there for recreational reasons. And so after several people shared their experiences, Jonathan said we were going to have a time of singing, and he ended us in prayer, of course. But the songs that Jacob led us in was How Great Thou Art and In Christ Alone. And, you know, those would be considered old hymns to us. And as we were singing, It was just really so powerful. But the thing that caught my eye was this little small boy. He might have been 3 or 4. He was on a little scooter, and he had been playing in the background for all this time and laughing and cutting up with the others. And as we began singing, he scooted his little scooter right in front of us, and then he came to an abrupt halt, and he just stopped. And he was mesmerized. I mean, this is one guitarist playing, and this 180 people just singing, "How Great Thou Art." This is not a vacation Bible school with all the cute little moves and the extra instruments being played. This was the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." And the men that were with him were trying to get him, coax him on. He would not move. He was just spellbound. And to me, it just felt like that is the Spirit calling that young little fella. He might not have understood the words, but he understood something was special about it. And my prayer right then was, "Lord, will you speak to those guys that are with him and with the others around him? May they hear these words that can understand them and recognize them, and may they respond to them." And it was just a very special moment. It's just inadequate words for me to describe what it meant. It just flabbergasted me and caused tears just to come streaming down my face just to see the little boy. And one of the little boys that was with us, some of the families went on this trip also. So this may be a future for some of you who have older children that might want to go in the future. But they brought a sticker down to give to the little boy, and so he was trying to get it on, and one of the guys came over and was helping him. So that just brought that guy a little bit closer to hearing these words too, and I just felt like the Lord was going to use it. And then, of course, someone went up later and gave him a card that gave the information for the church on it. And then I want to address real quickly before I close on the giving out the granola bars. That was a very challenging experience for most of us. We didn't exactly know what to do. But let me tell you what the Lord told me about that. Talking about being ignored, here I am standing with a handful of granola bars and cards, and I'd see people coming, and they didn't come down to the corner to turn. They started angling off, you know. "I'm going to bypass that lady. She's crazy," or something. But that, it did not offend me. It opened my eyes to what I do here in Moultrie, Georgia. When I come out of a store and somebody's selling something or giving something, I do just like they do, almost to this effect. Just keep me straight. I got to go. But the Lord told me, eye contact is so important. We can tell people so many things with expression on our face. You know, smiles are the same in every language from every person. And the love of God can show through us when we just stop, and we may not have to buy what they're selling or take what they're giving, but we can at least acknowledge them as a creation of God. And we can say a silent prayer for them or find out if there is a way we can help. So I'm praying that after this experience of giving out granola bars, I will be different in here in Moultrie, Georgia, and wherever else he leads me. Thank you again for this opportunity.
Good morning. I wanted to add a little bit to Carol's story. Whenever we were singing with that group, I was looking around at all the faces of people that had come from all over the country to come and help with this, with Jonathan and his church there in Boston. And I remember us singing, and as I looked around, everybody knew the words. Everybody knew the words to the song, and It was very moving. It's what I would call a spiritual high. And I often feel this whenever I sing with my choir, that whenever we sing with sincerity to God, and for us to have the Christ authority, that God is watching us, and he knows that we sing sincerely to him. Another experience that I had on the trip was on Saturday after we had finished with passing out the granola bars, we had a little bit of free time to go and look at some of the historic sites there in Boston. And one of the members of our group wanted to go to this well-known pastry shop there in Boston. When we finally came upon the pastry shop, the line not only came out of the pastry shop, it went down the street, and people were lined up to get in into this shop. And so, because we wanted this experience also, we got in line. And after a while of standing there in line, I decided that I didn't want a pastry. That I thought that I might go and find a shop that I could browse around while I was waiting on the rest of my group. And whenever I did so, I passed this homeless man and his dog. The man was sitting up beside a building, and both he and his dog were fast asleep. The sidewalks were really crowded, and not only was the sidewalk had all the people waiting in line, the rest of the people that were coming out either to go out to eat or to go to bars or wherever they were headed to, it was just really a crowded street. And anyway, whenever I looked around at some place that I could go, I didn't see anything but bars and restaurants. And so I ended up going and standing beside the homeless man. And in doing so, whenever I was waiting on my group, I looked down at this homeless man, and I noticed that he had bananas, and he had apples, and he had oranges. And there was even a brand new bag of dog treats for his dog. And right behind the dog treats, someone from this pastry shop had left him a box of something sweet and savory. And again, while our folks were waiting in line, I was watching people come down, and whenever they came across the homeless man, they felt that he was in their way. They felt that he shouldn't be there on the sidewalk, and, you know, they were almost a little irritated that he was there. But anyway, I came to realize that with all these things that I saw that were surrounded by this homeless man, all these gifts of people that had shared with him, it made me realize that God does provide for all of us. He takes care of our needs, just like he did this homeless man. After everyone had tasted their pastries, we were decided to go to dinner. And in doing so, we were walking across this bridge. And I was with some other people. And this guy comes up to us and he goes, "What's with the t-shirts?" And I told him that we were from Georgia and we were there to support a church that had been planted there in Boston. And he said, "Oh," and he said the S word. And I kept talking, and I said, I continued to tell him about the big move of how we had moved all these college students and everything. And then he said, he used the GD word. And he says, "That's fabulous." And I kept talking, and I said, and when we passed out granola bars, we were in hopes of finding people that we could tell about Jesus. And he looked at me and he says, "That's terrific." And of course, he went his way and we went ours. You know, even though I can't stand here and say that I help lead somebody to Christ, I do know that we planted seeds that day. And whenever we do plant seeds, God gives us the sun, and we know he's the rainmaker. We can talk to the seed. We can love on that seed. We can sing to the seed. And we can be a very nurturing friend to that seed. But unless that seed is willing to listen, the roots just can't take. But God asks us to be patient and to be loyal to the people that are lost. And he will move. We will see God move. So we need to really pray for lost souls. Okay, I'm going to introduce Blake now to come up and share his thoughts.
All right. Morning. This is terrifying. I'll kind of just go over everything they've already mentioned. Going into this, I didn't really know what to expect. It was a first mission trip for myself, and it was a great experience, to say the least, kind of an understatement. But we all walked away being able to grow from this experience and just see the impact that we had, hopefully. As we moved, all these people Friday, I was paired with Eric and Riley. And Eric and I started the day off on a seesaw at the playground to kind of, you know, get the blood flowing that day. So, but as we went throughout this day, you encountered people and offered your help. And, of course, they're iffy at first and don't really know what to say. And so after you explain yourself and kind of offer your help and why we're there, just to serve them and serve the Lord, they were kind of just like, okay, you know, sure. And of course, no charge, so they didn't want to, you know, had to ask. But you could just see how moving it was after we started helping them and moving all these items in. And as Aaron had kind of said earlier, Jeffrey sent a text kind of throughout the middle of the day, and it kind of gave us all a good laugh. But he sent a text saying, make sure you guys ask the most important question, and it's, what floor are you on? And so I think we had only had to move one person to the third floor, luckily, but most of it was second floor, and the stairwells are not very big at all. You may can fit two people side by side, maybe. But, yeah, you moved all these items in, and frankly, I don't know how some of these families plan to do it. Some of them were just mothers and daughters. I think we encountered maybe two fathers out of all the groups that we ran into. And so there was couches, chairs, dressers. I don't know how they would have been able to do it. And so afterwards, you could just see how thankful they were and appreciative that we were there, and just the blessing that we were for them. And so just seeing the impacts on these families throughout the day, it was so moving and touching for ourselves. And while we didn't have some super, I guess, I don't know the word, bear with me, super impactful stories or confrontations as some of the others had that were there with us, we just hope and pray that we planted a seed somewhere in them and made an impact on that family. And so kind of going on to later that evening, as we gathered back at the playground and everybody shared their experiences and what they came across and how each were moved, when we started to sing these songs, and I know Miss Carol has already mentioned the little boy and the gentleman that were with him, but I don't know about for you guys, but song is so powerful for me. The messages that they share and bring across is just so impactful and so meaningful to the message it spreads. And so as we sing In Christ Alone and How Great Thou Art, you could just see it touching this little boy and the movement it had on him. And so it as Miss Carol has said, it was kind of just left you speechless in a way at how this little boy just came near and froze in his tracks and just was amazed at what we were doing. And so the gentlemen that were with him kind of inched closer as time went on, and it was a little bit more curious as to what we were doing and why we were there. But all you could do is just thank it at how little, at how small Christianity is in this community, and that this little boy could just be the start of something in his family, and it just spread on throughout that community. And so as I was preparing this, I came across the scripture of Psalm 105, 1 through 4. And it says this: "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually." And hopefully, as we were all there singing praises and telling all of his wondrous works, we just pray that we planted a seed in this family and throughout the people that weekend, and that they grow to just know the Lord and grow a relationship with him and to seek his presence continually. And kind of how I had to share on that. You guys have kind of covered a bunch of it already, but thank you to all who contributed to this trip and played a part in it, and thank you, Aaron, for all that you've done. And we just ask you continue to pray for this community and in hopes that they continue to grow spiritually and build a relationship with the Lord. So thank you.
The scripture that Blayton just shared is such an appropriate way to conclude this missions time and this testimony time. I hope that this has challenged you and encouraged you. You know, there were a couple of reasons I wanted these guys to share today. Number one, just to give a report to our church, because you've invested in this team. You have prayed for this team, and you need to know that the gospel goes forth and bears much fruit. And a verse popped in my mind this morning in the early services this team was sharing. It's from Isaiah 55 that tells us that the word of the Lord does not return void, but it always accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent forth to accomplish. You know, all you guys who went to Boston, you may not think that your time there made a big kingdom impact, but you never know. We'll never know this side of heaven, those gospel conversations that we have, the impact that they make. I also wanted them to share because I want to challenge every single one of you that's here this morning. Let me just remind you, God has not just called us to send missionaries and to support missionaries. He's called us to go as missionaries. And all of these guys would be the first to tell you that if they can do it, you can do it too. And so in the future, there's going to be more opportunities, whether it's Boston or whomever or wherever the Lord may call us to as a church family. But we want to be engaged in reaching the world with the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you, whether it's here in Moultrie, across the street, or around the world, I want you to be faithful and us to be faithful to shine the light of Christ, to bring others to himself.